How many of you have seen the Disney movie The Jungle Book? Yep. Kind of a popular movie back in the day when I was growing up. Well, there's one scene in the movie with the boy, his name was Mowgli. And this is written by, a story by Rudyard Kipling. But anyways, the snake in this movie wants to eat the boy. And so he starts singing to the boy, and the song that he sings to the boy is, "Trust in me." It goes a little like this. It goes, "Trust in me, just in me. Close your eyes and trust in me. You can sleep safe and sound, knowing I am around. Slip into silent slumber, sail on a silver mist. Slowly and surely your senses will cease to resist." Now, yes, it's a silly little song that this snake is singing, and all the while his eyes are bugging out and spinning around and going crazy and, you know, lulls the boy, Mowgli, to sleep. Now, while it may be a funny little song, it had ominous undertones, right? The snake was attempting to eat the boy. He was looking for his next meal. So we see here that there is a problem with the concept of trust. Just because someone says to you, "Hey, you should trust me," or starts to sing you a song about trust, doesn't mean that that person can indeed be trusted or is trustworthy. You know, I could say to any one of you, "Trust me, follow me, come do this thing that we're gonna do." But does that necessarily mean that you will in turn follow me? Now, trust requires action. It's something that is gained. You know, when you have true leaders, men of renown, who had people following them, they gained people's trust. Maybe it was by the words that they said, but in the end, they had to back up those words with action. Otherwise, those people would not continue to follow them. Now, we can think about Satan's tangle with Eve in the garden, kind of a similar thing to the story of Mowgli. If you will, go turn to Genesis 3 and verse 4. Genesis 3 and verse 4, and it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate. And she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. See, brethren, that the start of the downfall of man started with Adam and Eve deciding not to trust God. Rather, they looked at what looked good, what Satan was saying, "Hey, trust me, this is what's right. This is what'll happen if you eat this tree that God told you not to eat of. Trust me." Well, what happened when they trusted Satan? Mr. Rankin, in his sermon today, was talking about the ability that we each have as people to choose what is right and what is wrong. Well, Adam and Eve chose wrong. They didn't trust what God had to say, what he told them to do. They found another thing to replace God with. Now, faith and trust in the Bible are often joined together. They are oftentimes in conjunction with one another. And if you look in a dictionary, they're actually synonyms. That means they can mean the same thing. So let's take a look at a situation. In 1 Kings 17, and we'll start in verse 7. And it says, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land." In verse 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying," and him being Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." And so he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Verse 12, "So she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die.'" And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." Dropping to verse 15, "So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoke by Elijah." Now, this lady had faith. She trusted Elijah. God had put it in her heart, of course, but she went out on faith and believed what Elijah said. He told her that her and her son would not go hungry. And they didn't. Now think about Christ's own disciples. They learned at the feet of Jesus for 3.5 years. They watched him do miracles, heal people, bring them back to life, feed lots of people. And yet, at the time of Christ's arrest and trial, they scattered. So their trust, at that point, was missing an element. This shows that without God's Holy Spirit leading and directing, we cannot come to fully trust in God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Something interesting that I found was in John 12 and verse 27. That's not quite right. It's okay. I remember what they were. What was interesting about the scripture that I was looking for, I can't find it here, but the people, the leaders of the people of Israel at Christ's time, they actually, some of them said that they believed in Christ. They had faith in what he was preaching. But they didn't follow him because they feared other people. They feared what others would think about them. And so they didn't follow what Christ was saying. If you will, let's turn to Jeremiah 17. I'll read verses 5 and 8. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, thus says the Lord, curses the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Verse 7, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So again, two opposing sides that we can see. Either we trust in God, or we trust in man and ourselves. Since we're talking about people who, if we're looking at the equation here, trusting God or not trusting God, let's take a look at Abraham. If you will, Genesis 15 and verse 6. Genesis 15, and verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. And he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? And so he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. So let's take note here. Abraham believed and trusted in God. He believed what God was telling him here. And we read that God chalked up his belief to righteousness. But let's take note what Abraham did next. He made an offering to God. And what effect did that have? Let's turn to Galatians 3 and verse 6. Galatians 3 and verse 6 says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are best with believing Abraham. Those who believe are children of Abraham. And God promised Abraham that his descendants would be many. If we trust God, we can be counted as righteous. Let's turn to Psalms 4 and verse 5. Psalms 4 and verse 5, it says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. We see a correlation here between fully trusting God and being able to offer our sacrifices with righteousness. But again, if we're not careful, we see the opposite attitude in Malachi 1, verse 13. Malachi 1 and verse 13 says, you also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? Do we put our full trust and faith and confidence in God? Do we offer our offerings today with trust and the accompanying righteousness that comes with that trust? Or do we find tithing and offerings a burden, tiresome? For a final scripture, if you'll turn to Psalms 37. Verses 3 and 6. Psalm 37 and verse 3. David says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And you shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your justice as the noonday.